Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Devil at My Heels is the official autobiography of Louis Zamperini, written with David Renson, and it presents a first-person account of one of the most widely known American survival narratives of World War II. The book combines sports memoir, military history, prisoner of war testimony, and religious conversion narrative. It traces Zamperini from a difficult youth in California to his rise as an Olympic distance runner, his service as a bombardier in the Pacific, his survival after a B-24 crash, and his captivity in Japanese prisoner of war camps. Its purpose is not only to document extreme wartime suffering, but also to explain how endurance, memory, trauma, faith, and forgiveness shaped the rest of Zamperini's life, compared with later biographies about him. The distinctive feature of this book is its direct autobiographical voice, which frames the events through the moral and emotional interpretation of the survivor himself. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from troubled youth to Olympic discipline as preparation for endurance. The early chapters are important because they prevent the book from becoming only a wartime ordeal narrative. Zamperini begins as a restless and often rebellious boy in Torrance, California, whose energy could have moved toward delinquency. Running becomes the channel that changes his direction. Under family encouragement and competitive pressure, he develops the habits that later become central to his survival tolerance for physical pain, focus under exhaustion, and the ability to measure progress in small increments. His Olympic experience at the 1936 Berlin Games also places him inside a larger historical moment before the war, linking personal ambition to global instability. The book does not claim that athletic training made him invulnerable, but it shows how disciplined competition gave him a mental vocabulary for suffering. Hunger, fear, exposure, and humiliation could not be treated like a race, yet the runner identity gave him a way to resist collapse. This section also explains why his later survival became symbolically powerful to American readers. He was not merely a soldier caught in disaster, but a public athlete whose body had already been trained as an instrument of endurance. Secondly, the Pacific crash and 47 days at sea as a study in survival under scarcity. One of the central episodes of Devil at My Heels is the crash of Zamperini B-24 during a search mission and the long period he and fellow survivors spent adrift in the Pacific. This part of the book examines survival at its most basic level: water, food, shelter, wounds, weather, sharks, and the psychological strain of uncertainty. The significance of the raft episode is that it narrows the world to a few immediate decisions. Survival depends less on dramatic heroics than on conserving energy, improvising with limited materials, dividing scarce resources, and maintaining enough hope to make the next day imaginable. The ocean ordeal also changes the meaning of time in the memoir. Days are counted not by achievement but by continuation. This prepares readers for the later captivity sections, where survival again depends on resisting the erosion of identity. Well, the raft narrative is therefore not a detached adventure sequence. It is the hinge between Zamperini's athletic past and his prisoner of war future, showing how quickly modern military service could reduce trained airmen to exposure, thirst, and chance. Thirdly, Japanese prisoner of war camps and the deliberate attack on dignity. The prisoner of war sections are the moral center of the book. Zamperini describes beatings, deprivation, forced labor, intimidation, and systematic humiliation in Japanese camps. The emphasis is not only on physical violence, but on the attempt to break prisoners psychologically by stripping them of control and dignity. Guards used hunger, arbitrary punishment, and public degradation to make captives feel powerless. Zamperini's account is especially focused on the personal nature of abuse, including the role of Matsuhiro Watanabe, the guard remembered as one of his chief tormentors. The book presents captivity as a battle over selfhood. To survive meant preserving memory, loyalty, humor, and inner resistance when outward resistance was often impossible. This is why small acts of defiance carry weight in the narrative. They do not change the structure of imprisonment, but they prevent total submission. The historical value of these chapters lies in their witness to Pacific War captivity, a subject sometimes overshadowed by battlefield narratives. The memoir keeps attention on the lived experience of prisoners whose suffering continued long after military defeat or victory had been decided elsewhere. Fourthly, post-war trauma, spiritual conversion, and forgiveness as a form of recovery, Devil at My Heels does not end with liberation, and that is one reason the memoir has continued relevance. Zamperini's return home brings public recognition, but also nightmares, anger, alcohol use, and a damaged marriage. The book shows that survival from war is not identical with recovery from war. His captors remain psychologically present, and revenge fantasies become part of the trauma he carries into civilian life. The turning point comes through a Christian conversion associated with the preaching of Billy Graham, after which Zamperini interprets his life through faith, forgiveness, and service, Readers need not share the same religious framework to see the structural importance of this transformation in the memoir. It gives him a method for reorganizing memory so that the past no longer controls his present behavior. Forgiveness is presented not as denial of brutality, but as release from the continuing power of hatred. This leads to his later work with troubled youth and public speaking. The book, therefore, moves from survival as biological endurance to recovery as moral and spiritual reconstruction. Lastly, first-person testimony and the memoir position beside later biographies. The book stands in an interesting position because Zamperini's life is also widely known through Laura Hillenbrand biography Unbroken. Devil at My Heels differs because it is not primarily an external reconstruction. It is a survivor-shaped account written with David Renson, in which selection, emphasis, and interpretation come from Zamperini's own retrospective understanding. That gives the memoir immediacy and personal authority, especially when describing fear, shame, anger, faith, and forgiveness. At the same time, readers should recognize the nature of autobiography. It is not just a record of events, but a life organized around meaning. The book presents Zamperini's experiences through the arc he believed defined them, from wayward youth to athlete, soldier, captive, traumatized veteran, convert, and mentor. This makes it valuable for understanding how survivors narrate their own lives, not only what happened to them. Its voice is direct, accessible, and shaped by public testimony. For readers comparing sources, Devil at My Heels offers the subjective core of the story, while more documentary biographies can provide broader context, corroboration, and narrative distance. In conclusion, Devil at My Heels is best suited for readers interested in World War II prisoner of war history, survival memoirs, Olympic biography, faith-shaped life writing, and accounts of trauma after combat. It offers practical benefit by showing how endurance is often built from habits, rather than sudden courage, discipline, attention to immediate needs, loyalty to companions, and the refusal to surrender inner identity. It also offers intellectual value as a first-person case study in how veterans interpret suffering after the fact, especially when recovery involves religion, forgiveness, and public service. The book stands out from similar war memoirs because its life arc is unusually broad. Zamperini was not only a serviceman who survived captivity, he was also an Olympic runner before the war and a speaker and youth mentor after it. That range allows the memoir to connect athletic discipline, military catastrophe, captivity, post-war trauma, and spiritual renewal within one continuous self-portrait. Compared with more detached historical accounts, its strength is proximity to the survivor voice. Compared with purely inspirational books, its weight comes from concrete wartime experience. Readers seeking a neutral military history may want supplementary sources, but those seeking a direct survivor account will find it distinctive. If you would like to support David Renson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.